Get your fill of baseball news and beer reviews at foulballarea.com. Follow our blog for the latest news around the baseball world and read about some of our favorite ballpark beers. Tune into the podcast every Wednesday as we take a deep dive into the topics of the day. Stay connected by signing up for our mailing list or following us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at foulballarea. Now, here's today's episode of the Foulball Area Podcast with Matthew Atkins and Trey Lyle.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest episode of the Foulball Area Podcast. I'm your host, Matthew Atkins, alongside my co-host, Trey Lyle. And we have had a full week of regular season baseball in Major League Baseball. The 2024 season has gotten underway. We've had a couple of really exciting games, a couple of not so exciting games, some hot starts, some slow starts. It's been a crazy week. Lots of news going on. And we're going to dive into it today. We got a lot of stuff to talk about as we break down everything that's happened over the past 7 days. Trey, how are you doing today? You ready for this? You ready to break down some real regular season baseball?
Yeah, I agree. I'm excited. This is you know, a fun time of year where a lot of good baseball going on. Yankees swept the Astros, so I feel really good about it. And can I tell you this? I love Juan Soto. Just love him. I love Juan Soto. So that's all I need to say.
I'm sure a lot of Yankees fans share
Aaron Judge his first homer yesterday against Arizona, which the fact that the Yankees started the year at Houston and at Arizona is insane. And the fact they're 6-1, I'm trying not to get my expectations too high like I did in the preseason picks, but you go against, you know, two of the final four last year on the road and you're 6-1. Pretty good.
Yeah, it's a pretty good start for the Yankees, and we're going to dive into some of the hot starts that we've seen so far this season here in just a little bit. It would be really nice to start off with, you know, all the crazy things we've seen, all the good things we've seen, good plays, good teams, but we have to start with the timely news of the day, and that's the Oakland Athletics causing more drama with their pending move to Las Vegas. And they confirmed this week, this Thursday, that they will spend the 2025 through 2027 seasons in Sacramento. So the Oakland Athletics are currently in their final season in Oakland. They announced this on Thursday. They're going to be sharing Sutter Health Ballpark with the Sacramento River Cats, who, by the way, are the Giants' AAA affiliate. So it's not even their own minor league affiliate. It's a 10,000-seat stadium in Sacramento, and that's where the A's will be playing for the next 3 years. And during this time, they will not be known as the Oakland Athletics. They won't be known as the Sacramento Athletics. They're just going to be known as the Athletics or the A's.
I'm fine with that last part because they're not going to stay in Sacramento too long. The dumbest part of this, and John Fisher just, I mean, all-time foot-mouth disease. John Fisher said he's excited that this is the most intimate ballpark, and he's excited to see stars like Aaron Judge hit home runs in it. So he doesn't name a single one of his own players. He picks the Aaron Judge, which, hey, I'm excited to see Aaron Judge hit home runs out of that ballpark too. But like the fact you don't name your own player, he's like, I'm excited to see... I don't know who's on the A's. Insert an A.
Exactly. to be fair, who's a star on the Athletics?
But the owner of the Athletics. Yeah. The owner of the Athletics. Well, the two best players on the team aren't playing for the team right now because they may have shown support for the protest. Just want to point that out. And yeah, this is a shit show. And this is awful. Oakland, like, this is the last team to leave Oakland. Oakland doesn't have any sports teams anymore. And they've mishandled this move so bad that they're gonna, I mean, I think it's cool they're gonna play in a intimate ballpark. Like, I think that'll be a cool visual. Granted, I don't think what's more likely? Who has higher attendance, the AAA team or the Major League team?
I think there's a shot
the minor league team might beat him.
Honestly, they could, because, I mean, they have an established fan base there. You know, most of the fans there are probably Giants fans.
It's like a two-hour drive from Oakland.
Yeah, I mean, it's not far, but you think the River Cats, they have an established fan base. The fans in Sacramento because of the Rivercats association with the Giants. They're probably more likely to be Giants fans. So the A's might have a good draw there, but I would not be surprised if the Rivercats have a higher attendance. I really feel for the Oakland fans in all this, the fans that are in Oakland, because, you know, they knew they were moving to Las Vegas, but the lease was up on the Coliseum. They probably had a little bit of hope that they would work it out and stay there for the next couple of seasons before they moved to Vegas. And now they don't. They're unable to work it out, and the A's are leaving town 3 years earlier than they had hoped for. So I really feel for the A's fans in Oakland who have shown that they care about this team. You know, again, it's so easy to point at attendance numbers and say that there's no support for the team in Oakland, but there's so many more issues that go into this. It's hard to get to the stadium. It's hard to, you know, it's not a good stadium. It's not a stadium someone wants to watch a game at. There's not a good product on the field. So there's a whole lot of issues. You can't just look at the attendance numbers and say, well, they don't get any support, because they would if they tried. There are some diehard fans there that would really support this team if the team put some effort into it. And so I really feel bad for the Oakland fans. And like you mentioned, they've had two other professional teams leave in recent years, with the Raiders and the Warriors. The Warriors are still in the metro area. They're just across the bay in San Francisco. But still, they've had three teams now leave them in the past 3 or 4 years. So it's really sad for the Oakland fans. John Fisher, like you said, not a good thing to say in that press conference. I just don't understand that.
You know what? I've decided I'm not giving John Fisher my time. He doesn't deserve it. So carry on.
All right.
He doesn't deserve it.
No, he doesn't. He doesn't. It's not a good situation at all. But another thing going on with the A's that you alluded to, some of their players who are actually playing pretty well are not currently playing with the team. One of those players is Estuary Ruiz.
I like how you had to write out the pronunciation. I know we're going inside baseball here, but I loved how you had to write out the pronunciation.
Look, I'm looking out for you and myself.
Well, I was just not going to say his name. So.
But Ruiz, last season, led the American League in stolen bases with 67 stolen bases, which I believe is also a rookie record.
Is that good, Matt?
That's pretty good.
Okay.
That's pretty good.
And you think stolen bases, that's something like, you know, pretty good to do, because advancing the runner, you know, is...
Advancing the runner,
okay,
getting into scoring position, that's pretty good. So okay, he led the league in stolen bases last year with 67. So far this year, early on in the season, it's early, but he was batting .429, .375 on-base percentage. You know, at that point in the season where the on-base percentage can be lower than your batting average. But batting .429, .857 slugging percentage. That is also good. A .429 batting average to start the season. An .857 slugging percentage to start the season. That is good. And they send him down to AAA. Mark Kotze, the manager of the Oakland A's, who I really liked as a player. I like him as a manager. I think he's in a really tough spot trying to manage this team, because he has to deal with the players that the upper management gives him. He's in a really tough spot. But he said, quote, "The reality is, to use his skills," talking about Ruiz, "he needs to get on base." He was batting .429 to start the season. Is that not getting on base?
So the reason he has gotten called down is because he was wearing a wristband that is from the group that is leading the charge in protesting the ownership group in Oakland. And I think, and there's been two players that have kind of dealt with this, and pretty simple. The manager's got to talk out of his ass, because his best hitter is in AAA because the Oakland Athletics as an ownership group don't want this guy parading around there because of their mess ups. So it's just dumb. It's dumb. It's dumb. This is, baseball's not going to step in because Rob Manfred works for this man. So it's like, and it's not like a, you know, Donald Sterling level of ineptitude, or, you know, in terms of like, there's no reason theoretically that you could fire, you know, I'm not even saying his name anymore, like I said, but this is just so bad for the city, for baseball. And Like, my first minor league team ever was the Athletics. So, like, I have a special love for the Athletics because, like, when I played, the first time I played Little League baseball, I had an Athletic shirt, I had an A's hat. So, like, I have a love for this team. And it just sucks. It really does suck. It, like, that's the only way to put it. They're going to keep doing moves like this, and it just sucks to see. And unfortunately, this is how we have to talk about this team. They're going to be the worst team in baseball, and it just sucks. Like,
it does.
I already can see it now. They're going to, once they get to Vegas, I bet you they spend. But yeah, this next 5 years, it's going to be awful. It's going to be awful.
One last thing before we move on and actually talk about some good teams and good players. The Oakland A's have a AAA affiliate in Las Vegas, the Las Vegas Aviators. Why not go there and share that ballpark for the next 3 years to go ahead and get into Las Vegas? Why are you going to Sacramento? What's happening here? I don't know. Let's move on to some good teams and good players that we have seen this week. Also, some
Juan Soto, player of the week.
Well, player of the week, Juan Soto. There you go. Trey is really high on him.
Can I tell the story of his play in Houston? So
let's go for it.
We interacted, but I was actually in this room. And I literally yelled when he made the out, in the ninth. I just kept yelling, thank God for Juan Soto, as loud as the top of my lungs. Like, I've never been fanboying that much on opening day in quite some time. I think it was the fact that it was Houston. They came back. And it was Juan Soto, just led to this emotion of, like, as if it was a playoff game. But he has that. He hits he has a big at bat in the ninth in another game. I mean, he's been insane to start the year. We're about to get to overreactions, and I have one that you don't have listed, but we'll get to it.
Well, let's start. I mean, you're talking about, I assume it's Juan Soto.
Yes, it's Juan Soto related. And so we're doing a game here. He's going to give me his overreactions and say if they're sane or not. But my overreaction is this. The best two hitters in baseball reside with the New York Yankees.
Juan Soto and Aaron Judge?
Yes. I think it's an overreaction because how well Mookie has been.
Yeah.
But, and how well Mike Trout's been, which, free Mike Trout. He hit a homer. Opening day was perfect. He hit the home run to give the Angels the lead, and then they lost 11-3.
Yep, that's a classic Angels.
I think by the end of the year, it might not be an overreaction, but I'm gonna say it's an overreaction. Granted, you can make the case, but Mookie is playing too well, which we'll get to Mookie in a second.
I think by the end of the season, it could work itself out. It's really early. I saw a list of the hitter power rankings come out earlier today, and Ronald Acuna Jr. was at number 5. I wouldn't put him there that high right now based off what we've seen so far this season. I feel like at this point in the season, you still have to take into account, last season and career overall. So
can I shout out one more person?
Yeah, go for it.
Sorry, he's on the Yankees, but the kid, Anthony Volpe,
yeah,
he's been insane. Hitting .409, 3 RBIs, a homer, 9 hits. His on base is .500 right now. I mean, he was incredible in Houston. He's played really well as well.
All right, so that's what you think with the Yankees. You think possible overreaction that two of the best hitters in baseball are
on the Yankees. Are two of the best hitters. They are the two best hitters.
One and
the
two.
Yeah, you can't say two of the best hitters. That's hardly a fact.
Okay, all right. So
that's
one
like
and
saying
two.
Eric Cole's the best pitcher in baseball. Like,
the two best hitters are on the Yankees.
Yes.
Let's look at the other side of that coin. The team that the Yankees opened the season with, the Astros. The Yankees swept them in 4 games to open the season. The Astros have not really, started to play that well since then. They're 2-5 to start the season. Overreaction or not, the Astros need to be worried after their slow start.
not an overreaction, because they're starting pitching, which is beat up, which ironically they've thrown a no hitter, but they look old. When I watch them against New York, like, if the Astros go 4-0, it's on lock. Like, it's over. And the Yankees got that lead back like that. And they rarely dominated that series. And that's something we really hadn't seen. I mean, the Yankees have now won 9 straight against Houston. I know that's... And also this. Was that second series at home for Houston?
Yeah, it was against the Blue Jays.
Okay, I was going to say. So that means they've lost, dating back to last season, they lost 4 straight in the ALCS. They lost, I think it's like, it was 9 straight home games heading in after the Yankees series. And so they've lost, so add one more, 10 of their last 13 home games dating back to the playoffs last year. That's not good. Like, no. That's not good at all. So, yes, it is. While, do I think they'll be like make the playoffs? Yes, but it is concerning.
I think it's a bit of an overreaction. I still like the Astros team. I think that they're one of the best teams in baseball. They've still got a lot of their key players there. Evan Carter is going to have a really good year. Yordan Alvarez, Alex Bregman, like a lot of guys that you can't overlook. I 2-5 to start the season is not great, but it's not something to be extremely concerned about. And like you said, they did have a no hitter that we're going to touch on a little bit later, but Ronel Blanco threw a no hitter for the Astros earlier this week. So their starting pitching has been beat up. They've got some guys that are injured that they're waiting to come back, but I think that they're going to get through it and they're going to get on the right track here after a little bit. So 2-5, not great, but I don't think we need to overreact to the Astros' slow start. A couple of teams having hot starts to the season that we probably didn't really expect. The Tigers are, as of this recording, they are 5-1. They lost game 2 of a doubleheader against the Mets earlier today, but they're 5-1 to start the season. They were the last undefeated team when they were 5-0. The Pirates are 6-1, assuming they hold on to beat the Nationals. They're currently in the top of the 8th right now, 7-2. They are leading the Nationals, so they could be 6-1, and the Brewers are 4-1 to start the season. Are those teams actual contenders, or are they just lucky to start the season?
Overreaction. Heavy overreaction. It's the Tigers, the Pirates, and the Brewers. I mean, the only team I would not be shocked if the Brewers make a run because they have good players, but it's the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Detroit Tigers. Like, granted, I think they'll be better than they've been, but again, it's the Detroit Tigers and the Pittsburgh Pirates. Overreaction.
I remember last year, I think it was around the end of April, the Pirates and the Rangers were in first place.
Yeah, and then the Pirates lost like 20 in a row.
And
we
did a whole episode on it. We made a social media post. We said Pirates and Rangers are in first place in their divisions. Are they contenders or pretenders? Obviously, the Rangers stuck with it. They were contenders. The Pirates were obviously not. I think it's the same thing this year. I think it would be an overreaction to say that these three teams are going to be good. The Brewers probably have the best shot. Pirates, I would like the Pirates to be good. You know, Pittsburgh is such a great baseball town. PNC Park is such a beautiful stadium. The Pirates are a historic team. They have O'Neill Cruz, who is a really talented player. Cabrian Hayes, another really talented young player. I would love for them to be good. I just don't see it this year. And the Tigers, who knows? They could surprise us, but again, I don't see it. So to say these teams are going to contend after the first week of the season is a bit of an overreaction. Opinion number 3, Shohei Ohtani will not have an MVP level season. So far this year, he's batting .270 with just a .750 OPS. The range that we want to see Ohtani is like 900 to 1,000. He's at .750 OPS. He hit his first home run of the season on Wednesday, breaking his longest homerless drought to start a season. It was 8 games. If you look back at last season, he had gone 18 games without hitting a home run, the second longest homerless streak of his career. Shohei Ohtani will not have an MVP level season this year. What do you think? Is that an overreaction?
Who did I pick to win MVP?
Shohei Ohtani.
There we go. So, yes, it's an overreaction, Matt. Come on. Like, I can't. That's like, that's dumb. My Juan Soto pick looks really good right now, but Shohei doesn't. But I'm not. No. No, it's an overreaction.
Okay.
I remember when you texted me that, I actually laughed, but I couldn't text you my response because I knew we were doing this.
Yeah.
It's like, that's a stretch. Granted. I mean, the NL MVP at this point, if you want to give it, is, you know, he didn't win player of the week, which I don't get. It's his teammate. But yeah, no, it's an overreaction.
Okay. All right. I'd have to agree with you. I think.
Okay. You know, I was about to say.
I think that he's obviously, yeah. All right. So if the two best players, two best hitters are on the Yankees, then you'd have to say Ohtani's number three or four at this point.
You could make the same argument for the Dodgers.
Yeah, you could.
And you could argue they have three of the top three, 10.
With Freddie Freeman in the mix as well.
They have three of the top 10.
It's, you know, early in the season, first week. The Dodgers did, of course, play two games in Korea before everybody else, so they have two extra games on everybody right now. But first week in the season, it's early. He's going to get things back on the right track.
Yeah, we'll and it's see. Not like his season started pretty ideal. Let's be real here. Like, come on. You know, come on. It's not like it's been smooth.
No. So that's an overreaction. Last one that we're going to look at. The Angels will not miss Shohei Ohtani as much as they thought they would. The Angels are off to a 4-2 start. They're tied for first place in the AL West with the Texas Rangers.
Cool.
Mike Trout, who you mentioned, has
three
home runs so far this year with a 1.015 OPS. His teammate Taylor Ward, also three home runs with a 1.080 OPS. Pretty good offense from the Angels so far. They're tied for first in the division. What do you think?
Free Mike Trout. It's an overreaction. They have awful. They still have awful starting pitching. Like, awful starting pitching. So this is not sustainable. So it's an overreaction.
You have thought that all of these are overreactions.
No, I didn't think the Astros one was.
Except for the Astros one. That's the only one that you thought was not an overreaction.
You thought they all were overreactions.
This is the one that I don't think is an overreaction. I think the Angels can do it. I think that they... I'm not saying they're going to the World Series. I'm not saying they're going to the playoffs. But I think they could have a decent season, you know, as good as they were with Ohtani.
They were awful with Ohtani. So, yeah, okay. You're right. Okay. You're right. They can be awful. They can be awful. They can still be awful. So it's not an overreaction. They were awful with the two best players in baseball. So they're still going to be awful. Yeah, right. You are right, Matt. My bad. You're right. Not an overreaction. They're going to still be awful. I forgot how low the bar is for the Los Angeles Angels because they sucked with the two best players in baseball because they can't get a pitcher to save their lives.
That's exactly right.
Free Mike Trout.
The bar is on the ground.
You're right. The bar is so low. The bar is so low.
They don't have to be good. They just have to be as good as they were with Ohtani, which was not good. So that's all I'm saying here. They're not going to miss him as much as they thought they were. They're still going to be bad, just the same level as bad that they were last year with Shohei Ohtani.
Yeah, because they can't pitch. Offense wasn't their problem.
Exactly. All right. So those are our overreactions or not to begin the season. Let us know what you think is a big overreaction. Let us know what you think is going on with the season. Any big thoughts, crazy reactions that you've had to the first week of the season? Let us know what you're thinking as we get through the first 7 days of the 2024 MLB season. Another thing that comes with the start of the MLB season is new ballpark foods. One of my favorite things whenever I visit a ballpark, one of my favorite things every time I go to a Flying Squirrels game. I remember last year they came out with the hot dog with a pickle for the bun. I didn't try one throughout the season because that doesn't sound that appetizing to me. But it's a unique fun food item. So a couple of MLB teams have something, you know, they go way out of the box on these items. And we're going to look at a couple of them here. Starting
shout out to the 99 burger. They only serve 99 a game. They did that last year, but I just want to shout that out.
Only 99 for the whole game? They only make 99 of them?
Yes. It's a special burger. And like people line up for it. You have to be the first 99.
I like that. Right, we're going to start in Philadelphia. The Phillies have the Schwarburger 2.0. It's a burger topped with cheese, pepper, bacon, fried egg, onions, and a signature sauce. Also, a portion of proceeds from this burger will benefit Schwarber's Neighborhood Heroes Fund, which provides opportunities for first responder families. This one doesn't seem too crazy. It looks delicious.
Yeah. I would eat that.
It's a burger with, you know, cheese, onions, bacon, a fried egg.
All the good stuff. All the good stuff.
It's not too crazy. So I would eat that one also. We're going to head out to Seattle now, where they have the Double Mitchwich. And, you know, this is really just two different sandwiches, and you get half a sandwich from each one. But it's to honor Mitch Haniger and Mitch Garver, two players for the Mariners. So the Double Mitchwich, the Mitch Haniger side features grilled chicken, tomatoes, crispy bacon, a fried avocado wedge, and Havarti cheese. The Mitch Garver side has marinated pulled pork, Black Forest ham, Swiss cheese, Dijonnaise, sliced pickles on Cuban bread. So basically a Cuban sandwich and a fried chicken sandwich.
Again, like a Cuban sandwich, like a fried chicken sandwich, I would eat this.
I would try.
Just not have.
I don't know that I could eat the whole thing.
I don't know if I would have. Does that have pickles?
Yeah, it has pickles. You just said you don't
like
pickles.
I would take the pickles off.
Take those off?
Yeah.
Other than that, yeah, it looks pretty good. It's pretty big. And I don't know why they're calling it, you know, it's really two separate sandwiches, just you get half of each one. But
yeah, the next one,
which sounds
the next
good.
One, I don't know if I'd do.
Oh my gosh. This is the one that I am the most excited about. So in Pittsburgh, the Pirates have the Renegade, a foot-long hot dog topped with potato pierogies, pot roast, pickles, and onions. So there's the pickles. So I don't know if that's throwing you off, but foot-long hot dog with pierogies on it. Oh, that sounds amazing. I would absolutely eat that.
So I've never actually had a pierogi. So maybe that's what I needed. Like, I need to try the pierogi first. But I think it's like a potato dumpling, basically.
Yeah,
right?
Pretty much. Just
so I would eat
that.
Go down
to the grocery store, get some, I think it's Mrs. T's frozen pierogies. Cook them up at home. They're delicious.
Okay.
Like a potato dumpling. So yeah, foot-long hot dog with potato pierogies.
Do you dip it in anything? Meat. Should I like get like soy sauce? Dip it in?
Yeah, you could dip it in something if you want.
Or ketchup.
It'd probably be good with that.
If you deep fry it, maybe it'd be like a French fry kind of thing.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
I think you can eat them however you want.
Dinner after this, so can we get to the food stuff? I'm hungry.
I would absolutely eat this this foot long hot dog in Pittsburgh. Finally, the Atlanta Braves have the four bagger. It's four different burgers, a pound of barbecue brisket, Reaper pepper mayo, jalapenos, cheese, and beer battered onion rings. So you're
it
out
looks,
at the jalapenos?
Yeah, I don't like. I like spice. I might do jalapenos. I will not do the Reaper pepper.
Okay,
mayo.
Yeah, same. That's probably where I draw the line. The Reaper pepper mayo. That I don't know about that.
But I do like the idea. Like you just you know you go to the ballpark and then you and your buddies just buy that and you have your meal.
Right. You get a group together. Get that thing.
Yeah.
I would attempt to eat that with other people. I could not, one person should not eat that themselves.
If someone, I would love to see they do like a, you finish it between, well, with these new rules, you have to add a couple innings, but like, yeah, from like the first inning to the seven inning stretch to finish the whole thing. Whatever 30 minutes, 30 to an hour is. So like maybe the second to the sixth inning you have. And if like they hit a home run, you have to like do a trot or something. I don't know. Make some rules up. Atlanta, hit us up.
It sounds pretty good. The Reaper Pepper Mayo would be a little tough.
Woo! You would have a fun visit after too.
Have you ever tried? I don't know the 999 challenge. Have you heard of that?
I think so, but maybe
so you go
not.
To a game and you try to.
Oh, nine hot dogs in nine innings, right?
Nine hot dogs and nine beers in nine innings.
Have you ever done it?
I've never tried it. Because The beers, I feel like I could do.
That would be expensive.
It would be super expensive. The hot dogs.
That's the thing. If someone wants to pay us, like, I think if I don't eat for a day, I could get some hot dogs down. Like, if they are like the typically the boiled hot dogs, so like, and they steam the buns light, I can knock a cut. Like, if they're the little hot dogs, I can knock some hot dogs down. So we will do this if someone pays for it.
We'd have to go to a Flying Squirrels game on a Friday night, happy hour night, when it's like 12 ounce beers. So
either
small,
do that. Yeah, we need either Flying Squirrels or Hillcats game. So, you know, come to Lynchburg.
999 challenge.
And we will do it if someone pays for it, because I'm not paying for it.
it'd be tough. I'd probably get to like the seventh inning and have to call it quits. But we could try it.
We'd also need a ride, so Mariah would have to take us home.
Yeah, she'd have to drive.
Poor woman. Nine beers.
Oh, man. That would be a time.
I'd be passed out on that bed right behind you, right? I want to get back.
All right. Let us know what ballpark foods are out there that you're excited to try this season, or if you would try any of these outrageous foods from the MLB ballparks. I think some of them sound pretty good.
If I go, like, so like the last baseball game I went to was the Hillcats, and it was like you actually buy your ticket and they give you a $10 food voucher, which is like a hot dog and a drink, which actually a good deal. So like, I'm just typically a hot dog person.
Yeah, I usually go for a hot dog, sometimes a corn dog, you know, mix it up.
Ooh, corn dogs are good. Yeah, all right, we got a lot to do, but yeah. I gotta stop talking about food. I'm hungry.
We gotta wrap up here. Trey's getting hungry. But yeah, let us know in the comments what your favorite ballpark foods are, what you're looking forward to trying this season. Other relevant news and notes from the first week of Major League Baseball. We'll rapid fire through this. As we mentioned earlier, Ronel Blanco threw a no-hitter for the Astros. It was only his eighth career start, and he threw a no-hitter. He didn't even know he was making the team until his final outing of spring training. They came to take him out of the game. And they told him as he was walking off the mound that he made the team, made the opening day roster, and then he throws a no-hitter. Real exciting stuff. Real cool stuff.
Yeah, it was awesome to see. Glad it wasn't against the Yankees. So I am.
Yeah, even though it is the Astros, it's cool to see Ronel Blanco. Also, his daughter was born earlier this year, so real exciting time for him.
Yeah, it was so early in the year with March Madness going on. Like, we had to get texted that this was happening.
Yeah, Billy Parvatam texted us. I didn't even get a notification until it was going into the ninth inning. Usually when there's a no-hitter watch, MLB will send out a notification in like the seventh inning. So
it wasn't the same night as it was the same night as the Elite Eight, right?
I think it was the women's Elite Eight. Yeah.
Was it the same night as Monday night? So it was the same night as LSU, Iowa.
Yeah.
Yeah. So ESPN was preoccupied.
Yeah, a little bit.
12 million viewers. So,
the Miami Marlins starting pitcher Yuri Perez will have Tommy John surgery. He's going to miss all of the 2024 season and probably some of the 2025 season. It's a big blow to the Marlins rotation, but he is only 20 years old. Had a great year last year. Expect him to come back strong and have a pretty solid career after this. But again, big blow to the Marlins rotation. I didn't really expect too much from them this season anyway, though. So I don't know. It's sad to see a player miss that much time, but it's the Marlins. Didn't really expect that much from them.
Yeah, they have they started the season on an 8-game losing streak, so it's already going bad.
The Norfolk Tides beat the Charlotte Knights. We're in minor league baseball now, AAA. The Norfolk Tides beat the Charlotte Knights 26-11 earlier this week. 26-11. That's a football score. Never happened before in American League or National League history. Jackson Holliday, MLB's number one prospect, went 4-for-6 in that game with 5 runs scored, 2 RBIs, and 2 walks. Call him up. Get him to Baltimore.
Yeah, call up Paul Skeens, too. So, Wyatt Langford's played well. I don't know what else to say other than, yes, let's call Baltimore, call up Jackson Holliday. So, it's, well, that will do it for this episode of the Foul Ball Area Podcast. As always, like this video. Make sure you subscribe to the podcast. If you're listening to the audio version, you can follow us at Matkins News, at Trey Lyle VT, at Foul Ball Area. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. We'll have reaction all season long right here on the Foul Ball Area Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the Foul Ball Area Podcast. Make sure to leave a review and a rating wherever you get your podcasts, and subscribe so you get new episodes as soon as they come out.
We'll be right back.